As students and teachers return to class this fall, they must navigate both a global pandemic and a nationwide conversation about racial injustice after the killings of George Floyd and other black Americans. Two teachers with different backgrounds and very different students speak with us now about how they'll bring those discussions to their classrooms this fall. Victor Terry teaches sixth grade English classes at Neighborhood House Charter School in Dorchester. Hi, Victor, and thanks for joining us.
Hello.
And Evie Weinstein Park teaches fourth grade at the Solomon Schechter Jewish Day School in Newton. Hi, Evie, and thanks for you joining us.
Hello.
So let me start this way. How did your students process what happened to George Floyd back in May?
I dare say over 80% of our students are Black or Latino. What often the case for African Americans and Black people, when we express our discontent, is often, well, are you sure? Is it in your head? But these instances for my students, and they've come back and expressed this to me, showed them, no, this is real. And now other people see what we see. I've seen them work through depression. I've seen them work through anger, frustration, confusion, dealing with death, dealing with illnesses in the family. We know that the pandemic has affected Black people and African Americans at a rate that is astronomical, on top of all of the pandemic of racial injustice in our country.
Evie, same question to you. How do you think it's affected your students?
Kids at our school have become more aware of it. We're at a Jewish day school where there's not much diversity. I think they're in the stage of learning that they are privileged. This year, when we came to do civil rights and we were reading what was the March on Washington, it was being read at the same exact time that George Floyd was killed by the police. And it became much more real for them. They were asking, well, if this happened in 1963 and people were asking for the same sorts of things they're asking for now, why hasn't it happened yet? I think there's a real desire to do something. And I think the fact that we have that privilege could become the grounds for what can we do.
I'm wondering, have you used the historical mistreatment and biases against Jewish people as a way to help students relate to what Black Americans are feeling right now and what they felt for much of their history?
Sometimes I think it's played up more than it is. We can kind of pass. You don't know that we're Jewish right away. So yes, there's a piece of that, but that's almost a too easy place to go because I think it's not the same. I think I'm a child of refugee survivors from Germany, so it is in my past. My parents fled Hitler. But I think this is, we're talking about people who have been mistreated from the moment they set foot on this shore. And anti-Semitism has reared its ugly head in many places in the world. But I don't want my students to go there thinking they know what it's like, because we can't know what it's like. This is at a different magnitude.
Evie, to your point, I'm currently reading Cast by Isabel Wilkerson.
Oh, me too.
And she speaks a lot to that.
Yeah.
I think that's a very good point, speaking that, you know, when Germans wanted to construct a caste system to put down the Jewish people, they came to America. They looked at the American Jim Crow law to say, what is legal precedence for us to be able to incorporate this entire society? And that was very telling for me.
Before this year, how have you typically addressed the topics of race and racism with students?
For me, I've incorporated the biography of Malcolm X by Walter Dean Myers into my sixth grade curriculum. Students have emailed me reflecting on that book and reflecting on the words of Malcolm X and use that as a kind of grounding as they move forward. And I found it particularly important to change the narrative during MLK Day beyond the I Have a Dream speech and incorporating his letter from a Birmingham jail for students to read and see and discuss and really start to add nuance to him as a person and his views on the movement, this alternative narrative to civil rights and the place of African Americans and Black people in our country.
In the big picture, in terms of dealing with this historic moment, I'm wondering what you think your biggest challenge is going to be as you move through the fall.
I think one of our biggest challenges is the fact that we have gone back live. So we are navigating what it's like to be in a school and keep everybody safe and make sure we have time. But it is going to be really important to be talking about it and keeping it live. It's too easy for people to just have let these events happen and then keep going. I think we want to keep this topic at the forefront. Up on my board this year, my big question for the year is, what is my voice and how will I use it? Which I got from a Facing History, Race and Equity class that I took this summer. And I really want the kids to think about that.
Similarly, I am wondering what happens when this topic stops being popular for public consumption, when people stop, quote unquote, hearing, and we stop seeing the headlines, and we stop this revolutionary vigor around the movement right now. This doesn't go away for people like me. It may stop being in the news, but it doesn't stop for my students. Right now, we have a microphone. What happens when people try to take that microphone away from us in 3 months?
Victor Terry, who teaches sixth grade English classes at the Neighborhood House Charter School in Dorchester, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And same to you, Evie Weinstein Park, who teaches fourth grade at the Solomon Schechter Jewish Day School in Newton. Thank you, Evie.
Thank you.